Now, at the start of the service, I tried to get you to think about what matters to you. I mean, what really, really matters to you? And how is that reflected in your life? What do you care about? What do you stand for? I don't know if you're aware, but earlier this week, we celebrated Martin Luther King Jr. Day on the 21st of January. And it's a day when we remember the life achievements of an incredible man whose passion to see racial equality in the United States of America was famous. His famous I Have a Dream speech still holds great power to inspire. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Whenever I see that speech, it still gives me goosebumps. And the BBC recently aired a TV series called Icons, the Greatest Person of the 20th Century. And in one of its episodes, it looked particularly at activists. And it included Martin Luther King Jr., but also Emmeline Pankhurst and her commitment to achieving the votes for women. Mahatma Gandhi, who championed non-violent protest and the needs of India's poorest people. And Helen Keller, who fought for the rights of disabled and marginalized people. So these were all people who used their lives and their voices to challenge the injustices they saw in the world. We can look back on their stories and we see vividly what they believed. And we see it through what their words. We see it in their actions. And in today's gospel reading that we just heard, we have a manifesto moment. We have one of Jesus' first real manifesto moments. After his remarkable birth, he'd grown up. He'd had his vocation confirmed at his baptism with the voice of God saying, "This is my son, whom I love," and the Holy Spirit descending on him. He had his vocation tested then as he went into the desert and was tempted to make choices. And he managed to resist making choices that were about self-satisfaction, power-grabbing, and glory-seeking. And then he returned to Galilee. We're told he returned full of the Spirit of God, and he began his ministry proper. And the word was starting to kind of spread around about him. And then Luke gives us this account of Jesus at Nazareth, the place where he grew up, where he was known to everybody as Joseph's boy. So he went into the synagogue and he was invited to read from Isaiah. And these were the verses that he then picked to read. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And the atmosphere in the synagogue was electric. We're told that every eye was fastened on him. They weren't just looking at him, their eyes were glued to him. And he sat down, which is the posture of the teachers and preachers at the time. And he started his teaching with, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." The verses from Isaiah were speaking of a Messiah character who would come and do the Lord's will. And Jesus told the people present, "That time is now, right here. In your presence, you are seeing this fulfilled. This person is me, and this is what I am here for." And there erupted loud cheers and applause, and the people listening were all joyful and happy. Was the opposite of what happened. This is where you have an advantage if you've actually got the Bible open and you can read on and go, "Wait a minute, that's not what happened." No, it was the opposite what happened. What really happened was that the people were amazed, though not in a good way. They were confused, and then they were furious, and they drove him out of town. They marched him to a clifftop to throw him off. But Jesus remained calm. He took a leaf out of Gandhi's book, and he just walked through the crowd and left them to it. Jesus explained to the people in his hometown who he was and what he had come to do, and the people couldn't take it. Now, perhaps it was because he was just Joseph's boy, you know, and imagining him as anything else was a bit too much of a reach. Jesus pointed out to them that a prophet is never accepted in his hometown. Perhaps we lack the imagination to see people in a new way when we've known them a long time. And perhaps, too, it was because his manifesto was shocking and controversial. The people were expecting Messiah. They were waiting for one. They wanted God to come and act. But this was not what they were expecting. This was not what they wanted. They wanted God's Messiah to come and lead an army. They wanted him to come and bring them military victories over national enemies. But Jesus hadn't arrived to hand out punishment. He'd arrived to bring grace. With this manifesto, he said, yes, I am the Messiah. And the Messiah is here to pour out God's love and favor upon those in need, on all those in need, not just the Jews, but to all nations. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, said Jesus. I'm here to preach good news to the poor, freedom for the prisoners, sight for the blind, release for the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing, he said. God's salvation had come, but not everyone was pleased about it. And it seems to me crazy that people reacted in the way they did to Jesus, that they took Joseph's boy and marched him out and tried to kill him because they didn't like what Jesus said he was about. Although, how many times have we seen this played out in the course of history? People who found themselves in danger and even killed for being on the side and standing up for the powerless and the persecuted. Jesus set out to the people of Nazareth who he was and what he was here to do. And then what we see in the rest of the gospel stories is Jesus living this out every day. We see him opening the eyes of the blind, both literally and metaphorically. We see him engage with the poor and marginalized and lifting them up, showing them that they matter. He touched the untouchables. He looked out for the lost and the lonely. He had dinner with the undesirables one minute, and then he invited everybody to come and join him for an impromptu picnic the next. He healed people in body, mind, and spirit, and through acceptance and forgiveness, he transformed lives. Jesus set out his manifesto, and then he lived it out. You could see his vocation and his values in the way he lived, the things he taught, and in his actions. And the challenge that I want us to engage with today is, what is our vocation? What are we about? What are the things that really matter to us? And how do they align with Jesus' concerns? Do we let his concerns and priorities influence ours? I think it's quite easy to look at the people who marched Jesus to a clifftop in order to throw him off and judge them for their rejection of Jesus and what he stood for. But are we really accepting him and allowing him to influence our lives? We may not have the opportunity to push him off a cliff if we don't like what he says, but we certainly have the opportunity to engage with him or not, to accept what he stands for or not. Jesus came for everyone, but he did have a ministry of downward mobility. His aspiration was to be there for everyone, but particularly for the poor, the prisoner, the blind, and the oppressed. Have we let those priorities influence us and our lives? I spoke earlier about people who we admire for their activism. Martin Luther King Jr., Emmeline Pankhurst, Mahatma Gandhi, and Helen Keller. People who believed passionately for a cause and did something about it. They advocated for people who had been oppressed and marginalized in various ways. People of color, women, the poor, those with disabilities. We can look at their lives, what they said and what they did, and know what they believed and what they stood for. But what are we about? What do we stand for? When people look at us and our lives, what do they see about our values? We may not be activists on a national or global stage, but we all have the power to make a difference in the world. We have our voices, and whatever the resources are available to us, which we can use to show people what we're about, what really matters to us. When we look at Scripture, I think we see Jesus in a number of ways. Sometimes we see Jesus as the healer, or Jesus as the one who forgives. Sometimes it's Jesus the pastor, or the teacher, or the wise sage who comes to the fore. Sometimes it's the broken Jesus, crying over his dead friend, or facing his own death. But here, I think we see Jesus the visionary and the activist. Jesus who sets out, this is what I am here to do. And I think this Jesus is here to inspire us, to encourage us, and to possibly give us a little kick up the bum, to open our eyes and stir us up and say, hey, this is what I'm about. What about you? This is what I'm going to do. How about you? Are you on board? Amen.